Welcome to the podcast of the Student Christian Movement. SCM is a community of students, past and present, and it is community that is at the heart of who we are and how we do things. Based in the UK, our vision of SCM is as a generous community, expressing a lived faith in Jesus Christ where social action meets prayerful devotion. We seek to be both a radical voice for equality and justice, and a safe home for progressive Christian students. Well, it is that time of year. It has come to Christmas, and this is going to be the last SCM episode for the year. And in this episode, we have a discussion as a staff team about all things Christmas, all the important questions such as, is Die Hard a Christmas film? And why is The Muppets Christmas Carol the best Christmas film that there is? As well as things like the meaning of Advent to us, amongst others. So we hope you enjoy this episode, that you have a lovely Christmas and a great new year, and we look forward to all that is ahead in 2024. So hello and welcome to a very special Christmas episode of the SCM podcast. Today I am joined by the staff team at SCM to talk about some of the most pressing and important questions when it comes to Christmas. And we're going to start off with probably the most important question about Christmas, which is Die Hard a Christmas film? So we're going to go around the staff team here and get their answers as to yes or no and why they think that. So we're going to start today with Naomi Nixon,
our CEO. Now, generally speaking, this is a question I try and avoid because people have strong feelings, but no, it's not a Christmas film. Yeah, you see, there were gasps. This is why I try and keep this. I'm normally in the closet about this. It's not a Christmas film. It's a film set at Christmas. I don't mind other people saying it's a Christmas film. It's fine. You do you. But a Christmas film to me has a certain vibe, and it doesn't have the vibe.
Doesn't have the vibe. Okay. Lisa, what is your answer?
Well, I'm the total opposite. I think that Die Hard is a Christmas film. I mean, apart from the writer saying himself that it's a Christmas film, you have, there's an office romance. You know, mm-hmm. Romance is always a key feature of a Christmas film. There's the triumph of good versus evil. There's canapes, there's a Christmas party. He wears a Santa hat. I mean, come on, it's a Christmas film.
Yep. Phoebe, what is your answer to the all-important question of Die Hard?
I've said no, because there's no, like, clear Christmas themes. And also, it doesn't give me the feels. Like, you know, like, a Christmas film that makes you feel warm and, like, you're heading towards Christmas. Mm. Die Hard doesn't do that for me. So I'm with Naomi, the vibes aren't there.
Okay, so far, all those who have said no are going off of vibes alone. That doesn't seem like a very high bar of evidence here. Lisa has provided multiple pieces of evidence.
Qualitative evidence. Yes. I feel like the interviewer has a bias here, and I don't know if it's fair.
I mean, I will give my answer at the end, but I certainly do have a bias, I will have you know. So. Okay, Jen, what is your answer?
I am with Lisa. It is definitely a Christmas film. However, I used to be very much in the not Christmas film camp, and I changed my mind over time because I sat and watched it with a lot of friends at Christmas and it gave me the feels.
Oh,
but I'm with Lisa. He wears a Santa hat, there are canapes, there's a Christmas tree, there's even some Christmas songs in there.
Like, can I just ask, why are the follow-ups not Christmas films? Like, Because that would be weird. What other Christmas film has sequels that are not Christmas films?
Preach.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, I cannot answer that. But I maintain that a Christmas film doesn't need to be overtly Christmassy.
Fair.
I mean, you do get Christmas specials of certain films. Yeah. So like you have Muppets films, which are not about Christmas at all, and then you have the Muppets Christmas Carol. So
not the same. Not the same. That's just the same actors.
I mean, like, it's still in the same franchise, so we're so Ruth, what is your answer to the question?
So I'm similar to Naomi in that I don't think I really care. But purely based on, and I've only seen the film once, but purely based on gut instinct, I'm going to say yes, it's a Christmas film.
There we
and
go.
I have nothing to back that up other than pure vibes.
Yep.
I'm complaining when it's a yes because of the vibes.
Yeah. And Naomi O?
So similar to Ruth, I mean, I think I care just because in the sense I've chosen my side and I'm going to fight for it. All the bitter end. I have only seen the film once, despite the fact that the creator has said it is a Christmas film. I just refuse to believe it. And you know what? I think, I have no evidence for this. It is just vibes. Like when I was watching it, it's just the vibes are off. Like it's just... It doesn't make me feel Christmassy. It doesn't make me feel kind of like, oh, goodwill of all men or anything like that. You know, it just makes me, it's just violence, you know?
It's just violence.
Okay,
so John, the all important question, is Die Hard a Christmas film? Yes or no, and why?
Die Hard is whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be a Christmas film, it's full of Christmas references. It's full of Christmas songs and Christmas jokes and loads of stuff to do with Christmas.
Yeah.
If you don't want it to be a Christmas film, you can probably change it from Christmas to like Thanksgiving or Easter or just Tuesday and the plot would still basically be the same. But I think it's one of those films, I don't think Christmas is integral to the plot.
Okay.
So if you want it to be a Christmas film, great. If you don't want to, if it doesn't make you feel Christmassy, that's fine too. Like,
I have to say that's probably the most balanced perspective we've had yet on this.
that doesn't surprise me. But also, if it's not a Christmas film, it kind of opens up for you to be able to enjoy it all year round.
Yeah, that's true. So it seems like in the no camp, the answer is vibes, and in the yes camp, there is actual evidence to back this up. So I will give my reason as to why I am a yes here.
That's a really appalling, like, summary of the discussion. You're making me care more with your...
I mean, if listeners disagree with my analysis, then they can email me at william@movement.org.uk. But... the reasons why I am a yes is that there are 21 Christmas references in the film, including paper floating down the skyscraper like snowflakes, as well as lots of ho-ho-hos and Santa hats. There are 3 Christmas songs on the soundtrack as well, and has the basic ingredients of a holiday classic, including the rekindling of family ties and the hunt for a lone saviour. So I think it is... quite clearly a Christmas film, but that's my opinion. Okay, so our next question is, what is your weirdest Christmas tradition? And we're going to start with Ruth this time.
Ooh, so I have racked and racked my brain, and I don't think my family has any weird Christmas traditions, but my husband David's family do have one that is very weird. So many moons ago, there was a mascot for PG Tips that was a little monkey. And they had they have a little like stuffed toy version of this monkey who has like an open mouth and like four little limbs. And so every Christmas, they have this little monkey out on their TV, and it's their mission to sneakily fit in as many limbs, as many of the monkey's limbs into its own mouth as possible over time. So it will start with one and then two, and then they've got to try and fit all four limbs into the monkey's mouth. And that is pretty weird.
I mean, no one's going to top that.
No.
What? It's very
yeah,
Christmassy.
I don't know. This is not my family. Well, my family by marriage, but not blood.
Amazing. Phoebe, any weird Christmas traditions?
Mine's not a weird one, and actually I think mine's quite a valid one, but because my mum's a vicar, like, we've always had to like fit our Christmas traditions around her services. So we have a very, like, it's not strict, but a quite good schedule where we go pub evening of Christmas Eve, midnight mass, pub after midnight mass, morning service, and back to the pub. And I think that going church pub is how we should all be all be celebrating Christmas. So actually, it's not weird. It's a very valid tradition.
It is wonderful. Yeah. It's a great shout. Jen, any weird Christmas traditions?
Well, I am single and I live alone, so I have to make my own traditions. And mine is on Christmas Eve, before midnight mass, I bake a camembert and watch The Princess Bride.
Nice.
Whilst nice. Making myself ill with melted cheese. And then I go to midnight mass and feel slightly uncomfortable because I've eaten a whole wheel of camembert, and then come home and open a present and conk out. So
worth it though.
Absolutely.
You know. Yeah.
And you know, because of this, I also think of The Princess Bride as a Christmas movie, which it absolutely isn't, but I watch it every Christmas Eve.
It's amazing how, like, wide the Christmas film canon can be when you're open to basing it on what time of year you watch it. Similarly, Katie and I, we watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy every year at Christmas,
yes.
And so it feels Christmassy to us because it gets us in the mood.
Always watch Lord of the Rings while strapping my presents. That's also a little tradition of mine. So,
because I'm older than everybody else here, like, you might not all remember that it used to be that, like, big Hollywood films premiere would often be at Christmas. There's quite a lot of films which, like, I got to see the first time at Christmas.
Yeah.
And, like, and also, like, Christmas, I mean, I was around when Die Hard actually came out. Like, and the thing is, Christmas films weren't really a thing then in the way they are now. Like, you just watched films at Christmas rather than Christmas films. So, yeah, in that way, I kind of think of Indiana Jones and When Harry Met Sally as kind of...
I think of
them connected to Christmas because it's when I watched them.
Sound of Music.
Right, yeah.
And The Great Escape.
So Christmassy.
Yeah.
Okay, so, John, what is your weirdest Christmas tradition?
So about over a decade ago now, we used to have this little tradition on Christmas Eve where we'd come back from midnight mass.
Mm-hmm.
So this was me, my dad, my sister and her husband. And we'd get kind of me and my dad would get a stocking of presents for each of my sister and my brother-in-law, and they'd get a stocking of presents each for us.
Yeah.
And which is similar to what we did when we were kids. And so, I was in my early 20s at this point. And so what developed was a tradition called Santa's Slugs.
Okay.
Whereby what we'd do is, so we'd lay our stockings out in our rooms.
Yep.
And then the other people would crawl on the floor, hiding under a duvet, into the other people's rooms, get the Christmas stockings, bring them back to our rooms where the presents were, load them up with presents.
Yeah.
And then take them back, all underneath, like, pretending to hide under a duvet and crawling along at, like, 1 a.m, giggling wildly on Christmas Day. And my brother-in-law developed the habit of mooing. As he did it, he'd make mooing noises, because apparently Santa slugs moo.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I had a lot of odd family traditions when I was growing up, but that's probably the weirdest. I hope to take home the title of weirdest Christmas tradition.
I think you might actually for this one.
Lisa, any weird Christmas traditions?
Not so much weird traditions, but something that we did as a staff team many moons ago, which became a little bit of a tradition in the lead up to any of the Christian holidays, was doing taste tests of Christmassy foods. So one year, those of us who were based in the office decided that we were going to test every single mince pie available on Harborne High Street, which is where the office is based. And we had a whiteboard on the wall that had ratings, and we scored them on things like the quality of the pastry and the flavour of the filling, the quantity of the filling, the packaging, the price point, the mouthfeel. So like where to eat. So that year we did eat a lot of mince pies, which I was very happy with. And we crowned our favourite mince pie, but then that kind of spilled over then into Easter. We had to do a taste test of all the hot cross buns that were available, and so forth. So yeah, that became a little bit of a recurring theme. We do love snacks, so yeah.
I'm in favour of any traditions that include food. So it's a, it's a good one. Naomi, any weird Christmas traditions?
Well, I don't know if it's a weird tradition, but I come from quite a musical family. My dad, he's a musician. So we always do carols around the piano on Christmas Day, which not many people do now, but I always like it because it's usually the only time that me and my family do musical things together now. But kind of like a personal weird tradition, we were talking about this before, is that I always like to watch the First Wives Club on Christmas every year, not with anyone, just by myself. And it's not a Christmas film at all. It's quite depressing a lot of ways. Like the premise of the film is terrible, but it's just the ending just always makes you feel so happy. So yeah, I think basically if it makes me happy, it's Christmassy. So
it's a good standard to go by. And Naomi,
my growing up family, rather than my kind of household family I live with now, on Christmas Day we wouldn't watch TV at all, which I don't know that it felt weird when we were kids, but we were a very TV watching family. But Christmas Day was the day that the TV did not get turned on at all. So like mostly that's because of other Christmas traditions, which were you don't open any presents until after lunch on Christmas Day. And then I've got three brothers. So opening presents took a long time, which is partly because you watch everybody open the present, you don't open them at the same time. So, and then we'd play a game in the evening. So like, but it's really funny that like, I look back on my dad, who like loved TV and like, was absolutely like that was what we did every other night of the year. But on Christmas Day, he'd be like, no, we don't need the TV on. We've got other things to do. But then videos came along and we were able to video all the Christmas things. So it was, that was good.
Amazing. Well, mine is a strange one. It comes from my grandparents. And I don't know if it's just like something that is what people do in the very kind of north of Scotland, because they're from Elgin and Lossiemouth, which is right up the very top of Scotland. But my mum kind of introduced it to me, is that every Christmas morning for breakfast we'll have beef liver on toast. It's a bizarre one, but it always makes me feel like it's Christmas Day. Beef liver on toast.
Beef liver.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really specific.
I know, but it's just the Christmas morning breakfast for us. I have no idea where it came from, but I quite enjoy it. I never have it at any other point during the year, but it's Christmas Day. That's the breakfast. Okay, so the next question is your favourite Christmas carol. And we're going to start with Jen this time.
Probably O Come All Ye Faithful, because I'm just basic. But it's one that I really love to sing at school. And it's kind of, it gives me the feels, the Christmas feels. So, and the music's quite nice. I'm, excuse me, I'm not a musical person. But yeah, it's a really lovely one.
Yeah. And Ruth?
Mine is O Holy Night, because for me it captures the kind of hope and the longing of Advent, and the line, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, always gives me chills. It's so good.
Yeah. Lisa?
Mine is O Little Town of Bethlehem. I think singing it in a busy church when everyone sings the third verse, kind of, which starts how silently, and everyone sings that a bit more quietly, is really moving. That's one of my favourites.
So, John, what is your favourite Christmas carol? It's difficult to choose just one. I really like Once in Royal David City.
Okay.
I like how we start in the kind of humility and kind of reality of the manger. And we go through that ending with this great image of, Christ in the restored heaven and earth, with us all there kind of in this promised God's kingdom that we're promised to come. When Jesus comes again. And I like that it takes us from the birth of Jesus all the way through to kind of the full promise and fulfillment of everything Jesus came to do and achieve through his life and ministry and his death and resurrection. So I love that it kind of tells, like, has both ends of the story of Christ kind of within that one carol.
No, that's really good. Naomi N.
It came upon a midnight clear. Which I partly love because it's just beautiful, and I love that it's about the angels, and I enjoy that whilst many of the Christmas carols have exclusive language as if all human beings are men, it came upon midnight clear gives you the opportunity to sing very loudly, hush your noise, you men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Which always feels like a little bit of a kind of a counterweight to the patriarchy of carols, which we put up with because they're all so beautiful and, you know, it's Christmas.
Yeah. Phoebe?
I don't know if it counts as a carol, but I like Mary, Did You Know, that Pentatonix did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I really like the calmness of it. But also, like, the first time I heard it, it was in church and my cat came to church with me. So, like, it always reminds me of that. And it's also, it's just a belter tune. I really like it.
Yeah. Naomi O?
Everyone said mine. But, I love, I love A Little Town of Bethlehem. But I also, this is the music nerd in me. So I would also say A Come All Ye Faithful. Because in the seventh verse, which is the one that isn't often done, which is the Yea Lord We Greet Thee, there's a chord progression that happens on the line Word of the Father that is it's just chef's kiss, incredible, and it's got to the point that there are music theory nerds out there that have Christmas jumpers with just the chords on it. And it is so true because it's like the moment that I think it feels like Christmas is when you hear but you check it out. It's the David Wilcox version if you're interested.
That's amazing. I would agree with Ruth. O Holy Night is my favorite Christmas carol, for very similar reasons, and I particularly love the line, chain shall he break, for the slave is our brother. Okay, so our next question is, what is your favourite Christmas film and why is it The Muppets Christmas Carol? So we're going to start with Phoebe.
I'm really sorry. I've not seen The Muppets Christmas Carol.
No. This is true.
So yeah, not seeing that. Sorry. I'll correct my behaviour at some point soon. But I do, my favourite, although it's a basic one, is Love Actually. And like, I love it. I watch it every year. And even though I know full well that Emma Thompson does not get the gold necklace, I will still cry when she doesn't get it. So also, why are people shaking their heads? Love Actually is an absolute classic.
It's rubbish.
From Jen's analysis, it sounds like you're upholding capitalism by supporting Love Actually here, Phoebe.
Written by a middle-aged white man who doesn't really understand human relationships.
That's not true. This might be more controversial than Die Hard.
Yeah, it might be.
I didn't realise people would have such an issue with Love Actually. It's about love. We love love.
People mean Jen.
No, I agree with Jen.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen some valid criticism of the film.
I could write an essay on
reasons
well,
why Jen actually is rubbish.
Jen, we'll go to you next then as to what your alternative favourite Christmas film is.
My favourite Christmas film has always been and will always be The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Correct answer.
The absolute pinnacle of everything that is good in the world. The Muppets bring joy. A Christmas Carol is the quintessential Christmas story. It's like,
apart from, you know, the Jesus one.
That is very true. The quintessential secular Christmas story. And it's just, oh, it is chef's kiss. It's the songs. Each Muppet is perfect for their role. The interaction between Gonzo and Rizzo as they tell the story and break that fourth wall. I mean, it's just wonderful. It came out when I was 10 and we got it on VHS.
Nice.
And I do tend to hyperfixate on things, people might have noticed in the office. So I wore that video out and I now know every word to the film. I can recite it. I've been to sing-along versions. I've been to orchestral versions. I must have seen that film over 100 times and it never gets boring.
And yeah. I feel like the people need to know about your Christmas jumper.
I am currently wearing a Christmas jumper that says, "'Tis the season to be jolly and joyous," featuring Miss Piggy, Kermit, Gonzo and Robin the Frog, who plays Tiny Tim.
So what we're saying is that it is Swedish chef's kiss.
We don't need to say anymore.
I'd also write an essay as to why the Muppets are perfect.
Yeah. Well, Naomi, what is your favourite Christmas film?
Okay, so I wasn't going to say this, but I actually feel like I need to counteract all of this Love Actually hate because Muppets Christmas Carol, great film. I would not say it's the best version of the Christmas Carol. I'm sorry. It's not scary enough. Like I would say the Patrick Stewart version is the best version, honestly. But that's just personal opinion.
I cry.
I'm fine. Yes. Well, I mean, you nearly made me cry with your Love Actually. But yeah, I mean, I said I do always watch First Wives Club as well, randomly. But I do love Love Actually. I think mainly, I mean, it's got its flaws. It's not the way that it especially portrays a lot of the women isn't great. But I think the scene with Emma Thompson listening to the Joni Mitchell later version of Both Sides Now will always just, oh, it, I mean, it's terrible when you, to me, that does feel Christmassy because it's such a horrible scene, but it's so emotional and it's just so well done. And I don't know. For that reason, I think that film is probably my favourite Christmas film.
Wrong answer, but we'll go on to Lisa.
Well, I'm wrong.
There is, so Love Actually is my husband's favourite Christmas film, and there is a deleted scene, which is the head teacher of the school that hosts the play.
Yes.
And honestly, it's the best relationship in the whole film, and they cut it out.
Yeah, it's really sad.
But she goes home after the Christmas production to her partner who's dying, and it's just, it's
Anne Reid and Frances de la Tour, and they're just so incredible.
They're so beautiful together. Yeah. So I feel like I have a bit of confession to make. So I start watching Christmas films quite early in the year, kind of, around Halloween time. And I've seen so many Christmas films that it is impossible for me to choose a favourite. But my son's favourite Christmas film at the moment is Klaus, which is an animated film. And it's that story of inclusion and welcome and bringing the two sides of a community together. So it's got, there's a lot in there for children to enjoy, but there is a deeper message for adults as well. So Klaus has been one of our most watched so far this year.
It is excellent.
It is. It's a great film.
Yep.
And John, what is your favourite Christmas film and why is it The Muppets Christmas Carol?
Well, it is The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Good. And not correct answer.
Yeah, not just because Jen demands it so. I think Christmas Carol is the one film that I can watch every year and look forward to watching every year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of films that I love that I've watched a lot. I've watched The Lord of the Rings extended editions a lot. Yep. I've watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind possibly too much, because I haven't watched it in a while and I don't necessarily feel the need to, because I watched it so much when I was a teenager. But Muppets is the one film that I watch every year and I look forward to and I enjoy every year. It's a Christmas Eve kind of tradition.
Yeah.
And I just love it. It's great.
Ruth?
It has to be Muppet Christmas Carol at the top, but I do have a few others that I watch every year, and The Holiday is probably one of the top. Flipping love The Holiday. I think there should be a spin-off movie that's just about Arthur. He is the main character of the film for me. And also a less well-known one is The Family Stone, which is kind of like a chaotic family Christmas movie. That also has a lot of heart, and I love it. I watch that every year.
Yep. And Naomi N.
So love the Muppets Christmas Carol, like in the sense that you don't have to only have one favorite. I could easily say that's my favorite. Always watch it. Have the DVD so they don't have to find it streaming somewhere. Have the DVD at a holiday cottage in case that's where I want to watch it. But probably my very favourite Christmas movie is no one will have heard of. It's called The Christmas Ornament. It's a Hallmark type one. It's gorgeous and adorable. And I bought a DVD player that would play American DVDs because you can only get the American DVD there off there. So like we only have that DVD player so that we can play The Christmas Ornament. And it's so tropey. It's like it's wonderful. And I love, like Lisa, like absolutely binge Hallmark Christmas movie type movies. We save them all up and watch them wall to wall on Boxing Day. But The Christmas Ornament has just all the best little bits. Oh, so kind of said of my weird Christmas tradition. We have every year we have Christmas movie bingo that we print out a thing, like we're watching a film and do they fall over together in the snow? Do they go and buy a Christmas tree together? You know, all of these like Christmas movie tropes. And The Christmas Ornament, he works on a Christmas tree lot. She bakes cookies. She's a widow. he's inexplicably handsome and single in middle age in the way that seems frankly unlikely, but you know, and they go ice skating and she has a failing business. I mean, you know, it's all the things you need in a Christmas film, but it's just so completely gorgeous and heartbreaking. And we do really love a middle-aged person romance in our house, and they're like properly a bit too old to really be romance leads. Also, the female actor in it was Lucy in ER, who got horrifically stabbed and ER moved on from without really being upset about the fact that this great character died. And
instead of Carter.
Yeah. So yeah, you see, Jen remembers.
And
it's like the first time we've seen her in anything for like since. So it's almost like it brought her back to life.
Okay.
I mean, everything about this film is good. I've talked about it for too long. I'm stopping talking.
Can I just say as well, I feel like Naomi, did we talk about this once? The Family Man with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, I love that.
A Christmas movie with Nicolas Cage. You all have to try and track it down because it's amazing.
That as well,
it's amazing.
One of my favourite podcast hosts refers to the potential Netflix apocalypse and how there's certain things you have to own an actual copy of just in case.
Yeah.
Streaming just all disappears. And that is one.
I'm a proper exennial. I need everything in hard copy. We'll just watch the streaming. But I feel comforted knowing that I have cupboards full of DVDs and CDs. Because one day the computers will go down and there'll be nothing.
Yeah. It's okay because we've got the Family Man, Mother's Christmas Carol in duplicate, and the Christmas Ornament with its own special DVD player.
Can I just say the side about the Muppet Christmas Carol? On DVD, they cut out "The Love Is Gone," which is Belle's song to Scrooge when she leaves him. And I am that much of a fan that I used to line it up on YouTube, pause the DVD, play the song on YouTube, so I could go back to the DVD because it's not the same film without it.
Yeah,
amazing. So it seems as if there's a theme where basically The Muppets Christmas Carol is like, if you were to ask what your favorite book is, The Muppets Christmas Carol is equivalent of like the Bible. It's just like you're given as a Christian
this is
your favorite, and then everyone's got other ones that they like. So
I'm gonna have to propose a schism.
Another day, another schism.
Another day, another schism.
I would say I've got a few favorite Christmas films, but it only released last year and it has quickly become a really enjoyable one that like we watched again already, and I'll probably watch again at least another two or three times. But Spirited, with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell in it, it's like their take on A Christmas Carol, but it's a musical and it's really funny and it's got quite a bit of adult humor in it and it's just quite enjoyable and the music is phenomenal. So yeah, I'd say that's a favourite. Just a side note, the next question I'm going to ask Phoebe first, because she's got a call at 12 so that she can jump off after she's answered it. So if she disappears, don't worry. It's just she's got to head off and then we'll finish off just on our own. Okay, so the last question for today is, when you think about Advent and the story of Jesus' birth and incarnation, does it give you hope and why? And we'll start with Phoebe.
Mine actually might be a bit of a downer answer, but when I think of the Christmas story, I think about the fact that Jesus was essentially an undocumented refugee. And it scares me to think about how he would be treated now and here, and how current refugees and asylum seekers are treated now and here. So that, particularly with it being the anniversary of the human rights, it resonates quite a lot with me that is essentially what Jesus would have been, is a refugee. But I also think that people in general are kinder around Christmas. So I'm not all negative. Like the other day, my number plate fell off the back of my car and my neighbour wrote a little note to let me know that it had fallen off. And I think that's kind. But so, yeah, I think there's a bit of both, but that is what comes out the most for me.
Yeah, That's true. And Naomi N.
So love this question, by the way. Really made me think. So there is a risk that I just do a Christmas sermon. It's apparently hard not to. So I'm trying to avoid that. You can tell me how I did. So the thing for me is that we tend to think about Jesus as saviour being the thing that happens at Easter. And I think it gets missed out of the way that we think about it at Christmas, that actually the so incarnation as salvation is really important to me, that immediately before he's accomplished anything, before he's done anything, just the moment that Jesus is born, the walls between heaven and earth are broken, and we're completely united with God in love. And I can just, like, I think all that stuff we've been talking about the vibes of Christmas and like what it ought to feel like, it's like, for me, that's the absolute kind of, that's why Christmas feels like Christmas, because it is about a feeling. And before we get to all the kind of worked through theology that we can kind of write essays about and kind of extrapolate and understand that happens at Easter, it just is at Christmas. And it's just completely pure, and God is completely with us in humanity, right in the mess. And I think it's so beautiful, and I think it's why the kind of coziness of Christmas feels like it's hitting on a really deep truth that we really cling to.
John, when you think about Advent and the story of Jesus' birth and incarnation, does it give you hope, and why?
I think the thing I love about Christmas, aside from all of the family stuff and everything that Christmas means in like our kind of in a secular sense, is kind of the start of that great story, the start of God coming to earth to give us kind of victory over death and that promise of everlasting life. And it's the start of that. And I think if kind of Easter is a time of celebration, then Christmas and Advent is a time of beginnings and promises fulfilled, and the story of God and humanity, and kind of the beginning of that great kind of promise of what leads to it. I like that sense of kind of, this is the beginning, this is the start of this, is this wonderful story. And I love the kind of the humility of it, the kind of banal reality of Jesus coming, being born in really just an ordinary place, in an ordinary town, in a very unceremonious kind of way. And I think that speaks a lot to kind of who God is and who Jesus is and what kind of their heart is, and yeah, that message of kind of God with us is kind of really, really kind of, we really see that and experience that through kind of the birth and life and witness of Jesus.
Yeah, I love that. And Jen?
So when I think of the Christmas story and Advent, I think about Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah and all of the emotions that they must have been going through prior to Jesus even arriving, like the trust that Mary must have had and the wonder that made Zechariah speechless, all these huge emotions that are just awesome to me. And obviously the coming of Jesus and the light of the world, all of that is, it fills me with a lot of hope and a lot of joy. And I think Christmas is probably my most reflective time of the year, more so than Easter. It just, yeah, really fills me with lots of feels.
Mm. Yeah. Ruth?
So, basically what Naomi said, but yes, I think it definitely gives me hope. And it's one of the things that I look to in suffering is I can't give platitudes of, you know, it'll get better or God has a purpose. All of that feels empty to me. But God with us is like, that's it for me. Like, that is my comfort. And that's what Christmas is about for me, is God writing themselves into our story and becoming human and, yeah, being with us.
Yeah. Naomi, you're?
Yeah, I mean, kind of all of the above, really. But I think also for me, and this is a very Catholic answer, but a lot of it comes from, my hope comes from the Song of Mary, the Magnificat, which is a song that is sung and said daily around the world every day. But at this time of year, it takes on special meaning. And I think it forces us to focus in on what Mary is actually saying in that text, and the hope and the joy and the promise of a society that is reversed and is where injustice is removed, and that, you know, that there is upheaval in society. I think there is something that is so powerful in that, that I think even though it didn't come in, we can't say it came into fruition yet, but it does, I think the idea that it will in God's time come into fruition, I think is the power of it. And I think that's what kind of reminds me to keep hope for a better world.
Yeah. Lisa?
So similar to Naomi, the Magnificat is one of my favourite passages from scripture, for lots of different reasons. And I think, I mean, drawing on what everyone else has said already about, you know, the hope and, you know, the fact that God with us, Emmanuel, was entrusted to a teenage girl who didn't know what she was getting herself in for, probably. There's something really powerful in that. And I think since becoming a parent and going through pregnancy and labour and giving birth to children, yeah, it feels different. And I can't help but think about, you know, what would Mary have thought? What would she have been going through? How would Joseph have felt in that moment? Would he have felt helpless? Would he have been a great support? And I think sometimes the story can get a little bit sanitized, you know, you have your little nativity plays at school and it's all very cute, and, you know, the angel Gabriel delivers a doll to a child playing Mary, and, you know, it's all very clean. And it wouldn't have been like that at all. And I think, yeah, they're remembering that God has come to us in the messiness, in the fragility, in the the darkest places, the lowest places, is something that's really, yeah, really powerful and really important to remember.
Yeah, I was thinking about this question the other day in a really bizarre situation, in the sense that I was playing the game Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and in the game you're playing as a Viking coming over to England to perform raids and build a settlement and things like that. And they're passing by a monastery, and some people who'd never really seen a church before were like, what are they doing over there? Is that a ritual drowning? And obviously it was baptism in the river. And then they pointed to the symbol of the cross on the church. And there was the question of, what sort of symbol is that for a god? Surely a hammer or an axe is a better symbol for a god. And it was this whole idea of power. And it's not to say that in Christianity that the idea of God has been co-opted for power in the past, because it certainly has. But for me, the idea of weakness and God at Christmas is something that is especially powerful when you think of the incarnation. There's a song by the artist John Mark McMillan called The Road, the Rocks and the Weeds, And in it, he says, "I've got no answers for hurt knees or cancers, but a saviour who suffers them with me. Singing goodbye, Olympus, the heart of my maker is spread out on the road, the rocks and the weeds." And I think of a post that I'd seen the other day by the Palestinian theologian Munther Isaac, where he posted a photo of one of the churches in Bethlehem, and it was their nativity scene. And there was a small doll representing Jesus that was in amongst the rubble of one of the buildings that had been nearby. And one of the things that Munther Isaac said was that God this Christmas, Emmanuel with us, is under the rubble. And it spoke to that idea of weakness, of God being with us, and the hope that in the vast sufferings of the world, that God is present in all of it. And I think particularly when I'm asked the question of why I'm still a Christian, that is the thing that I think of, that if I was to imagine what I would want God to be like, it's like that. And so that for me is the Christmas hope and the Christmas message. But yeah, so a very Christmassy, somber mood, I suppose, to end on. But it's, there's a lot of hope there. There's a lot of hope that despite all the things and the injustices that we work to at SEM to fight against every day, and the differences that we hope to make in bringing liberation and equality and freedom for as many people as possible, and creating safe and inclusive spaces for students, that God is with us on that work. So thank you very much, everyone, for taking the time to record this episode today. It's been lots of fun and some really wonderful reflections on the meaning of Christmas at the end there.
Thank you. That was so much fun.